All I am and all I have and all I ever hope to be is the message from your missionary. So I think that's just about as much as would need to be said. That is what makes a missioner. Rosie, Colin, Paul, Rhonda, Steve, Helen, Jim. That has been the message that I heard very clearly from you. I know that in years gone by, if I had been invited to hear missioners speak, just as you were saying, your mind floods with images of faraway, God-forsaken places with hostile communities and great danger. John Mark Chewan, I think was how we said his name last year, was our speaker at our missionary conference, and he told of his mother and father taking them to some South Sea island or some place way far away, and he spoke about his father's fear when he couldn't hardly breathe for fear with witch doctors and all kinds of things. And I thought, yeah, that's mission. That's the place to be. But we see that it's changed a little bit. But John Mark did speak about growing up hunting and fishing and playing on the golden sands on the beaches and swimming in the seas. And I thought, well, yeah, maybe that sort of mission's not too bad either. It was almost jealousy. In High Kirk, we've had a tradition of strong missioners. Paul and Linda Farncombe have been mentioned, and their work with Wycliffe. And as traditional missionaries go, we had Rhonda and Steve, as Rhonda's already said, going to the Ivory Coast and then going to India and going and teaching and training, and Paul and Tricia were away for a while. So we've had the traditional missionaries as well as the unconditional missionaries. But you know, the guy who struggled most with the phrase unconditional was Colin. And I find that strange, because Colin has been so, unconventional. I mean, Colin is just so unconventional for so long that he just thinks that's normal. But isn't it great when that's your outlook in life? We were treated last Sunday, to a sermon on mission and the motivation for mission. And just to cut tonight's sermon a little bit shorter, you could hear it and listen to it all on YouTube. It was Keith's sermon on Trinity for Mission, and he talked about John 20 and 21, where Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And just in the same way that God loved the Son, then the Son loves us. And Romans 5 and 5 says, God poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it was as God loved the Son and the Son loved us. And that outpouring of love is what makes missionaries. It's just the fact that they have a passion and that they love one another. The passage I wanted to read for you tonight is found in Luke chapter 6. And I'm only going to read a few verses from chapter 27 through. I'll skip some of the verses. And it says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, and do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you, and pray for those who ill-treat you." And when you think about that, and you think about how the ministry that Jesus had began with that type of thinking, it certainly was unconventional. So Jesus was an example of unconditional mission worker. His arrival into this earth wasn't quite normal, not normal by our standards anyway. There was no sterile hospital ward and no germ-free baby unit with breathing apparatus and heart monitors, and there were no blue rubber gloves that had to be discarded every time they touched something. Yet it was quite normal, his birth. He observed all the Jewish customs. He was presented at the temple. He was circumcised on the eighth day, and he was named Jesus, as was told by the Holy Spirit. And according to the law of Moses, the firstborn son was consecrated and the sacrifice was made, probably two doves or two pigeons, the poor man's sacrifice. And as was the custom, he attended synagogue on the Sabbath. Don't know much about him other than when he was 12 years old, he amazed the people in the temple by his wisdom and by his knowledge. Young man by that stage. And then he lived for 18 years before John baptized him, and that's when his ministry really began. But Jesus' teaching was unconventional. He began to teach slowly but surely and change things. Do not judge. Talked about the narrow way and the wide gate, and only a few would find it. The crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught with authority. He touched the leper in Matthew 8, but trouble really began when the unconventional Jesus talked about forgiving sin. This was the beginning of establishing a new covenant where the people of God would live by faith, where salvation would be by faith alone. It wouldn't be by keeping the law, it wouldn't be by sacrifices, it wouldn't be by religious observance, it would be through faith alone. But trouble really brewed up, trouble really reached its peak when he claimed to be the Son of God. This to the Jewish religious leaders was blasphemy. How could God possibly have a son? Why would God need a son? So Jesus at that stage had set himself on the road to his death. But he created a new culture, as we've read. He turned the world upside down. He said, love your enemies. Not something that we do very easily. And he said, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those. I think that's just how Jesus turned his culture on its head. And I think virtually every one of our guests at the front spoke about the changing culture. And verse 32, he says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Sure, even sinners love those who love them. And he said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. And be merciful as your Father is merciful. Jesus commands us to be witnesses, living our lives in this upside down culture. Love, forgive, expect nothing in return when we give. Truly love. Read in the Presbyterian Herald, just to let you know we're all Presbyterians, read in the Presbyterian Herald Reverend Norman Hamilton's little article on goodwill coming up to Christmas. And Norman was saying it would be great if goodwill was a 12-month thing to do rather than just have goodwill at Christmas. But he says, the heart of everyday Christian living is Jesus' call to have a generous spirit and consciously be in the lookout for those who are in need. Did you get that? The heart of everyday Christian living is Jesus' call to have a generous spirit and consciously be on the lookout for those who are in need. And I think that is where the application comes for us to apply our lives to a mission situation, because it's not only, and I needn't say not only, because we've heard how our missions are fully switched on and working for God, even though some are at home and some travel backwards and forwards and some ride motorbikes up and down India and wave at people and have conversations and some invite others in for tea and tell them they're welcome in their home. And you begin to say, oh yeah, I see what mission's about now. It's about sharing the love of Jesus wherever you're at. And you know, I just want to just remind you a little bit about what it's like here in Highkirk, about Bob's store, where we give out food parcels. We help those who are in need. The Life Centre, where our ladies work and give out clothes and shoes and anything that people need. Till end of last year, Wallace McDowell spoke about his work in the town and walking in the town and fishing, as it were, for people and saying, God, do you want me to speak to him, or is it him, or who will I, what will I say, and what's the problem? And he just left himself open to God, fishing for people to talk to. And Hots, healing on the streets, Saturday mornings, people have been busy there. People have been busy outside nightclubs giving out flip-flops. Simply neighbourliness. Cups of coffee. Meeting people up the town and saying, yeah, sure, I got 10 minutes. Do you want a coffee? And how we just share our lives with others. Have time to chat. Walk with someone. And Brian knows what that's like. Mark knows what that's like. When you walk with them for a while and carry them, they get heavy. And we get burdened. But God gives us the strength to walk with one another, to help each other along. We have our bowling fellowship where people are invited to come and have a game of bowls if they want to, or just a chat. We do the same in Hope House. We have a chat, a cup of tea. Darren spoke this morning about walking with someone and illustrated that very well. I thought this morning was just great. And he mentioned something that struck a chord with me. I had got a text message from someone recently, and it said, sometimes I want following God to mean life is never uncomfortable or painful. Sometimes I just want life to be just normal. Sometimes I want following God to mean life is never uncomfortable or painful. But Jesus tells his followers about the inevitability of persecution. In John 15, he says, if the world hates you, it hated me first. We read in Acts 4 how the disciples had struggled and how they were marginalized and how they were taken in by the Sanhedrin, and they were told, you cannot speak or teach in the name of Jesus. They were told, don't mention his name. And their reply, I think, was brilliant and sums up what we need to say. Acts 4 and 20 says, but we cannot help but speak about what we've seen and heard. We cannot help but speak about what we've seen and heard. I don't know whether you saw the BAFTA Awards. Was it last Sunday night? I think it was last Sunday night. You'd have been home from church in time. Letitia Wright, the rising star, most promising, was invited onto the stage to receive her award. And her first words were, I identify myself as a child of God. And I can't get up here without thanking God. And then she told about being in a dark place and how God had rescued her. And her final words on stage were, thank you, Jesus. And I thought it was just brilliant. And BBC didn't shut her down. She got to say her whole 5-minute spiel about how God was really just everything to her. And that's what being on mission is. Being able to speak for God, because, as Peter said, but I cannot help but speak about him, about what we have seen and heard. Our missionaries have told us that this evening. They meet such a range of people, all races, all kinds of people, and they cannot help but speak about what they've seen and heard. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. Thank you, Father, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, that you haven't left us, but that you've given your Spirit to guide and direct and to give us power to live the lives that you want, that upside down life where we love those who aren't lovely and we love those who hate us, and we pray for those who plot and plan against us. Father, we just thank you for your love. And we thank you that you have called many to be your followers. And we pray that you'll just continue with us. Help us to be your witnesses, both at home and abroad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.